Welcome to a brand new Compassion Radio 360. Hey, honey, welcome to the summertime.
Mm-hmm, it is getting warm out there.
And it's time for a brand new Compassion Radio's 360 program about refreshment.
Yeah.
The story is one of those kind of stories.
It definitely is. It's about a young man named Michael Pratt, and he grew up in Bowie, Maryland. And he has started a delicious business.
Yeah. And it's not just something coming out of an Easy Bake Oven in some kid's bedroom here. This kid went all out to learn a special trade in baking.
Well, when he talks about using 30 pounds of flour and 6 jars of cocoa powder and eggs and jugs of milk and all these things.
Because he's making what?
Cupcakes.
And cupcakes that are glorious. We see the pictures in the video, and we're going to play a little bit of the audio from that here today before we get talking about what it really means and what the spiritual implications are of the attitude and the intention and the doingness that goes into this whole project for this young man.
Yeah. Now, the backstory a little bit on Michael is that when he was about 8 or 9 years old, he was diagnosed with epilepsy, which was going to limit a lot of activities for him. He was a gymnast. He loved to swim, ride his bike, climb trees, just like regular kids do all the time.
Gymnasts, they're not just exercising or getting better at a sport or something. They are so focused. They're like a soloist in an orchestra that has to learn virtuoso level performance in order to compete at all.
Right.
So you're intense in that particular kind of sport. It's nothing lightweight.
Yeah, and he had to give all of that up because of the epilepsy.
Yeah, so what are you going to do with that kind of intensity and focus and discipline that you already have in your life? You're going to do something that's going to be of a higher level, I think.
Yeah, maybe so.
And he chose this.
He also loved to bake as a little kid. Thinking back to when our kids were little and they wanted to help me in the kitchen, they wanted to bake something, and our oldest daughter was given a cookbook even when she was very young. She always wanted to try and make something out of it and do these fun recipes, and the other kids kind of grew up under that as well, and our son loved to bake muffins, and so I'd get muffin mix for him, and you know, all of these kind of things that they just enjoyed doing in the kitchen.
And if you happened to just be walking by the kitchen, you were going to get roped into doing something.
Helping him out, yeah. So Michael thought, well, since I can't do all these other things that keep me super active because of my epilepsy, then I can still bake. His mom and dad got him some basic thing to use in the kitchen for baking. At 11 years old, he started baking more intently and intensely, I think it would say.
And professionally. Things that you would expect to see in a professional bakery if you walked in saying, this place specializes in cupcakes. What we see in the video of this young man doing his thing is that he's creating on that kind of level.
It was suggested that he start selling his cupcakes, baking them for friends and family at the time.
And if mom and dad are supplying this habit,
right,
then they're probably saying, it might be a good idea to earn back a little bit to cover the costs.
But something really important that his parents did for him was give him this sense of others.
Yes.
And generosity to others.
And not others as in someone we don't want to know, but the others that are around us.
Yeah, the importance of others.
And the importance of being with, not othering people.
Yeah.
He lived it out. Let's listen to a little bit of that online presentation. If you'd like to see it for yourself, the link will be there after the program today. Stop by and give it a watch.
My name is Michael Platt, and I am the owner of Michael's Desserts. I was 11 years old when I started, and now I'm 14 years old. I was diagnosed with epilepsy when I was 8 or 9, and it got me into baking because I was doing a bunch of other stuff. I was doing gymnastics, I was swimming, climbing trees, riding my bike. Epilepsy put a bunch of restrictions on those other things, but there were no restrictions on baking. After the cupcakes have cooled and everything is made, I will ice the cupcake and package it. On average, I go through probably 20 pounds of flour, 15 pounds of sugar, a couple gallons of heavy cream, and around 6 boxes of cocoa powder per month. I sell around 170 cupcakes a month, and that also means that I donate around 170 cupcakes a month. Since the beginning, I've donated almost 10,000 cupcakes. Most of the time, I just go around DC feeding the homeless, or I'll go into homeless shelters. This is my way of telling them that I haven't forgotten about them. The best part for me is if I don't feel like it, if I'm tired, I'm baking all week, just the thought that I am doing this help someone else. It just gets me up and running. It's like fuel. And in grammar, apostrophe means ownership. So I decided to do no apostrophe because I wanted it to be a reminder to me that I'm not doing this for myself, but I'm doing it for other people.
Again, honey, what a great kid.
Yeah.
Michael is doing the work of genius, but the most important part that I think comes out for me is that during the journey of becoming good at what he's become, which is a baker, is that he's not just delivering these things to the marketplace in a responsible and cost-effective way and making a profit, which is good enough in itself. Mm-hmm. He took a model of something that was much bigger than his cupcakes, which was what he learned about the Tom's Shoe Company,
right?
Which was buy one and give one. That ethic is something he baked into his business.
The name of his business is Michael's Cupcakes. He didn't use an apostrophe on his name. And he says it's because he didn't want it to show him having ownership of something. Mm. He didn't want it to feel like he was the one that was getting all the benefit from this, which he gets a lot of benefit from it. But he wanted it to be about others. And so his motto, like Tom's, the shoe company, is one for one.
Yeah.
So every time someone buys a cupcake, he gives a cupcake away.
So no matter what he makes, he doesn't even see himself as having ownership, like he's giving away something that is personally his. He's already given it.
Yeah.
It's in the marketplace, and it's being prepared for others.
Yeah.
And so he talks about baking 170 at a time, plus another 170 that are going to be given away absolutely for free in places like
food kitchens, homeless shelters, any place that there's someone with a need.
Maybe even foster kids.
Foster kids. So, he goes wherever the needs
are. Yeah, they're asking him to bring whatever he's got that
they
day.
Are. They are. They're asking him to help them.
And we're talking about tens of thousands of cupcakes that he's baked and given away just in the short time he's had this business alive.
Over 10,000 cupcakes he's given away.
And that is maybe a year or two in his early teens that he's building this business. You know for sure he's going to be successful at whatever he ends up doing in the long run. This may be an important part of it. It may be the only thing he ever does in life. But my guess is it's going to spin off a lot more virtuous cycles here.
It's a great thing to do. One part of the story talks about how he and his parents go to Washington, D.C., They live not far from there. His mom and dad will take him with a box of cupcakes that he's going to give away. And he'll sometimes take them to specific places that he has set up, food kitchens or homeless shelters, things like that. But sometimes he just walks the streets and sees someone that's a homeless person, and he'll give them a cupcake. And he says, you know, it always makes them smile. And I think that's so beautiful because, like Michael says in this video, they can get soup or a piece of bread or a sandwich or something like that, even a drink of water at most of these places. But I just wanted to give them something that would make them smile, just a treat, a sweet treat for them. He didn't say this, but it's not just some packaged cookie that was bought at the store. Yeah. It is a handmade piece of art. Yeah. They're beautiful cupcakes. And he doesn't skimp on it. When he makes these cupcakes to sell and they're beautiful, he does exactly the same thing for the cupcakes that he gives away. He's not shying away from the beauty and the artwork that he puts into them. A 14-year-old guy chooses to do this, and it's in his heart. His parents have gone to lengths to teach him generosity, perhaps not intentionally even. It would seem his parents are generous people because that doesn't just happen. It is a lifestyle. It's a way that these people would seem to me to live their lives. Yeah.
Blessed and is encouraged by his family.
Yeah.
I do believe there are probably some people that are overcomers that have come out of some very dark places.
Oh,
that,
sure.
That do great things like this anyway. Like we talked about a story a few weeks ago, a young man who went through the foster system and ended up changing the way foster kids are delivered to their foster homes by getting rid of the garbage bag mentality and getting them good luggage. There are things like that that are overcoming stories. In this way, I would say this young man's overcoming story is overcoming loss of possibility, something he loved doing, he cannot do anymore, but he transformed it into something that is giving him enough time to pursue a new thing that he can love and give time to because he lost the other thing.
Right.
So it's a pivot for him, but it doesn't change his nature, which is to be excellent in everything he does.
Honestly, there is a stigma with epilepsy.
Yes, there is.
And it's possible that he could have been bullied or made fun of or whatever because of that condition that he has. Yeah. So there's another part that his heart is sensitive or tender to those things.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith,
and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
So there's another part that his heart is sensitive or tender to those things.
Probably so.
I was looking, we look up verses from the Bible when we hear these stories or read these stories and things that kind of popcorn in our minds as we're listening.
And sometimes we're reading a story, we have no idea it's even going to be a 360 program. Right. It's like, a scripture keeps popping into our mind. We don't know why. We go back and think about it. Like, well, there's the lesson in that story.
Yeah. So one of the scriptures that came to me, it made me laugh when I looked it up, is Matthew 10:42. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it from the Voice. And anyone who has given so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, I tell you, he will be rewarded, and they've given it to me. So I thought, okay, yeah, I get, you know, we've heard that verse. I have most of my life, but it just kind of made me giggle that it said cup in there. So when I read it, and anyone who has given so much as a cupcake to one of these little ones or to the least of these, another version says, they've given it to me. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's the kind of generosity that we extend to others. We're doing this for or to Jesus. That was my take.
Yeah.
What are some of the verses that you found?
The first one that came to mind for me, I wasn't even thinking about the cupcake angle, but it's from Psalm 23:5. We hear David himself talking about how God treats us, how God prepares a table for us.
Mm.
He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup," or cupcake, "overflows." I've thought a lot about that verse since. Why is that always registered with me? There's nothing short with God. He doesn't just go for the bare minimums or sustenance and say, all you need is a hard cracker. God is about abundance. All through my life, reading through that psalm, I think about David being a warrior. Mm-hmm. So in the presence of my enemies, to me, always seemed to be literally, I have this image in my mind of this table being set in the middle of a field somewhere. He gets to feast while everyone has to stare at him and grouch and pout because they don't get what David's getting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's really talking specifically about physical warring enemies, people that have weapons facing him. There are a lot of enemies of our good nature out there that are always dogging us. We're living in a time where compassion is not popular.
Oh.
And it's not even popular in the theology of much of the church anymore. In fact, there's a lot of books being written to say that empathy and compassion are liabilities,
and
not
toxic.
Strengths. That they're toxic for you, which is nonsense. The Word of God and the presence of Jesus and the way he lived was constantly about overcoming the enemy of I don't care.
Mm.
It's your problem, not mine. Oh, really? Well, who's my neighbor then? All these kind of attitudes are one after the other through all of the Gospels. And Jesus answers it every single time with a story of something that transformed the situation and the people involved and puts them on the wavelength that Jesus himself is living out, that he is about doing these things, and those other anti-Christ things crumble in the face of what Jesus is actually doing for people. His example is enough to nullify these counter-arguments. And I would say those are the greatest enemies that are facing us now is not another political party. It's not another kind of person or another language or people group from another country. It is our own inner demons of not wanting to dare to care because we might start getting, quote, soft.
Mm-hmm.
And that really worries me that we're going to allow ourselves as the kingdom of God, especially in this country, to say, I'm not responsible for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I want you out of my life. I want you out of my country. I want you gone.
Yep.
And we normalize that as something that is acceptable and worth honoring within the church of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not want to get there. I just don't. And I want to do what we can in our lifetime to speak against that and speak, but not just against it, speak towards something. Give me an example worth emulating. And here we got it in Michael. Michael is living what Jesus did in a way that says, I'm not just going to give you a cup of water. I'm giving you a cupcake to go with that cup of water.
And a beautiful one.
Yes. Well done with high quality ingredients, because you are worth lavishing on. Because when I do this, I'm giving it to Jesus himself.
What you're talking about in Psalm 23, the abundance of God, the not just provision, but the overflowing cup is just more than you could imagine, more than you need.
Yeah.
And do people experiencing homelessness, do foster kids, do shelter dwellers need a beautiful cupcake?
Probably so, I would say.
I mean, you know, some would argue no.
Survival, no, probably. But to live
but
as
to
a flourish.
Live and to be recognized as human.
Yeah.
And to be gifted something nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. They need it.
Well, for thousands of years here, we have been troubled by and corrected by and encouraged by the story of the Mary who bathes the feet of Jesus before the crucifixion with a year's salary's worth of perfume. And just pours it out on his feet out of love.
Yep.
Jesus himself says, in shaming Judas, who was already embezzling the money from the kitty, do not worry about what this costs. She has done a beautiful thing for me.
Yeah.
And throughout history, this story will be told of how someone loves Jesus.
Yeah.
I would say that Michael's perfume, the incense of offering that he gives to God, whether he knows it or not, is the smell of a fresh baked cupcake. I had one other one, and I want you to speak about the couple of verses that God brought up to your heart, too. But the last one I got for you is from Philippians 2:3, which says simply, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. The message I get from this is not just the attitude we should be in, the humble. Mm-hmm. I get, do something, not do nothing. If you're going to do nothing, you're already being selfish. But if you're going to do something selfishly, then it's going to be even worse. So Jesus, through Paul, is saying to us, do something, but don't do it in a way that is all about what you can get out of it.
Yeah.
And don't just do it in order to pity others. I think that's the other big mistake we make, is that we act out of pity, which allows us to feel superior and remain in our own view above somebody else. Paul is absolutely saying, get down in the middle of this, get on the level of people where they are, and surprise them with loving them in the moment and be present. I see all of that in that little sentence.
Well, and that speaks to how he named his company, even. Yeah. I don't own this. Yeah. I do this for others. This is not about me, you know what he says.
And these aren't Michael's personal cupcakes.
Yeah, and in the International Children's Bible, it says, give more honor to others than to yourselves in that Philippians verse.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he's doing. And I think that is easy for all of us to do.
Yep.
Easy for us to give honor to other people in just simple ways, greeting them, asking how their day is, or telling them to have a good day. There are simple ways to honor other people without elevating yourself.
And I guess that Michael probably spends a little time with people if he gets a chance to. He's not just throwing cupcakes out the window at people.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
He's probably going to sit down and hear their story. His story is fascinating enough, and I'm sure people say, why in the world are you giving me a cupcake?
Yeah.
And you and I had the experience of helping out with some of these Turkey Day celebrations and feeding the community on Thanksgiving Day that Austin, Texas, and many other cities did for many years. I hope some of them are still alive.
Yeah.
But we were not given plates of food with a specific mission in mind. You could come with a list of places you know wanted them and take reservations and say, I've got room for 25 plates or 30 plates at this place. They would check it off. But there was a whole bunch of people that would come through the line to receive the plates of food from the kitchen in the middle of Austin, Texas, where they would just say, where are you going? And say, I don't know. Where do you need? And they would say, well, we got so many cars going this direction. Why don't you go this way? And it was just pointing a finger, saying, just go. And for us, we just started hunting around, looking for streets where people that were not coming out of this big parade of cars were going, and found places all over East Austin and other neighborhoods that we would not have normally traveled to because we didn't know them very well. And just start asking door to door, you know anybody who hasn't had Thanksgiving dinner yet would like one? And sometimes we'd say, well, I know this neighbor down there, they're shut-ins. They haven't talked to anybody. We would literally walk down the street, knock their door, and say, so-and-so down the street said you might like some dinner. Is it okay if we drop you off of a plate of turkey and cranberry dressing and dessert? The whole stuff was there. And we never got a no from anybody. But there were some people that did say, no, I've already got one, but I know who needs one. Yeah. And they kept referring you to somebody. We never ran short of opportunities to give away those plates on those Thanksgiving days. Yeah. And it was a great experience for us. But we were also at a deficit because we just didn't know who needed something. So we needed to go ask people to help us help. And that was actually one of the best things we did, was not have it all under control and tell people where to go to get food and just serve them at our place. We went to them. And that, for me, was more meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good time. And it was really good for our kids as well. They loved it. The verse that I thought of, another one, was Proverbs 22:9 that says, generous people are truly blessed because they share their food with the poor. Michael's smile in this video... If for no other reason that to you listeners, you need to go watch this video to see this boy's smile. It is genuinely beautiful. He feels so lucky to be doing this. Yeah. We don't know this family's faith story. We don't know anything about it. We just know that they are generous people and they have a very generous son. And he loves what he's doing.
Yeah.
And you can see that generous spirit welling up in the smile on his face.
Indeed. The smile before, talking about what he gets to do, and the smile afterward of what I got to do.
Yeah.
Both sides of that are inspiring to himself. He's feeding on this in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I have no problem at all adding that extra line into Jesus' story about, you saw me when I. You saw me, I was sitting on a street corner and you gave me a cupcake.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this story as much as we've enjoyed sharing it with you, and that you will go to our website on the podcast page and click on the link for the video, because I guarantee you, dear listeners, it will bless your heart to see this young man and to hear his story from his own mouth. And that's all we have today for Compassion Radio 360.
Like usual, we're back on Monday with our Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word series, which is new for us. It's going to be about the red letters of Jesus himself. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he, who hides in him. Oh, fear the Lord. Oh, all you saints, he'll give you everything. He'll give you everything.
Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and Relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before.
Will you help us today? Friends, really, we need you now to step up. Please give generously, even sacrificially, right away. I know that God will be pleased if we do. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478.
Our mailing address is Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or give online at CompassionRadio.com.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.